Welcome to episode 24. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the Own Your Thrive podcast and Empowered in My Skin production. My name is Nkechi Wafa Robinson, and I am founder and CEO of Empowered in My Skin, an experienced technology executive at one of Canada's largest financial institutions, an author, an International Federation of Bodybuilding pro athlete, an inspirational speaker, and most recently, a viral sensation after my You Matter speech hit over 3 million views worldwide. This show is all about thriving, and I will be bringing on some amazing humans that own their thrive to help you figure out how you too can own yours. So please leave a review on whatever medium you are listening to this on, and make sure to join along on the web at empoweredinmyskin.com so you can be notified when new episodes are available. For now, I'm your girl. Let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, I'm so excited. That's right. I'm always excited for every single interview I have. But this next interview, I'm really excited because it is firsts. Okay. So this is the first time I'm interviewing two humans at the same time. The first time I'm interviewing two humans that happen to also be husband and wife. This is awesome at the same time. And the first time I'm interviewing two people that are fairly new to Canada, right? So that's how this relationship actually was born. So totally excited. But let me start by introducing them, okay? So first up, she is an accounting and finance professional with over 18 years experience within and outside Canada. She started her career as an adult associate and moved on to handle progressively senior roles within the financial services industry. She's highly skilled in leading large high impact teams, process improvement, strategic operations management to drive cost efficiencies. She's a technology enthusiast like May with a proven track record in managing the implementation of various large multifunctional projects and solutions. Her passion is music and helping people discover and develop their potential. She's actively volunteering in various NFP platforms, helping women and children become their best selves. And her husband is a consummate professional with extensive experience in the IT space, with a career that spans across different sectors, financial services, telecommunications, and government. Continually up for the next challenge that seeks to make the most of achievements in technology, he is not one to back away from a challenge. Consistently having to approach things differently and embracing challenges every step of the way, he's learned to thrive and excel in multicultural, multidimensional environments. On the inside, he has a passion for people, their successes and development, always looking to share ideas at every given opportunity. He is a lifelong learner, energized with picking up new knowledge and improving on his leadership abilities. They are the proud parents of three active boys and actively invest in setting the right examples while ensuring they have the right support structure to succeed in the aspirations. So I want you, ladies and gentlemen, put your ears together for Chidinma and Anime Egaga. Chidinma, I just, you know, I'm going to focus on you for a second because I met you and we just confirmed that just under 4 years ago. And when I met you, it was through an amazing experience with Access Employment. And so you had been 8 months into the country. All of a sudden, I see you blossoming and thriving and leading and smashing goals and aspirations and inspiring people. And I'm like, wow, you know? And so a lot has happened in your life, obviously. And I don't pretend that it's the last 3 years where this has evolved. You have found your way, you know? And so that is exactly why I wanted to have you on here today, right? Is I think thriving is about seeing people that have found their way to live more from who they truly are. And so I figured your husband, Anime, who I've also had an opportunity to speak to and has impressed me because there's a tenacity that has come across, because I know you're a lifelong learner. The fact that you guys are thriving together and you're building together, I had to know what the secret sauce is, because I think a lot of people that have been residents in Canada for a really long time are going to thoroughly enjoy this podcast. Okay. So yeah, without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to you with the first question.
what's that journey to get to your thrive? What does that look like? The highlights, what does that look like?
Okay. I'll just share a bit. Like, you know, you mentioned we met 8 months into my stay in Canada, and that basically was when I was ready to step back into the workforce. I had been in Canada trying to get the family settled, and then I was ready to, like, go into the workforce, and that's when I joined Access Employment, and that's when we met. And we did meet at a point in time in my life where I felt I wasn't in my tribe, at least within here in Canada. The reason being that I had immigrated from Nigeria, where I had a steady career. I had established myself. I had a network I could rely on. I had systems I understood. And I came to this whole new country where I didn't have a support system and I didn't know how to get a job. So it was the first time in my life that I was without a job and I didn't know how to get it. And it was really a weird place for me. I was used to being the one people turned to for advice, you know, to tell them what next to do professionally, personally. And then here I was in a place where I needed to be the one to be advised. And it was a weird place for me to be in because I had kind of built my persona around being a strong person, right? The one who people lean on. And I didn't understand how to lean on people. So it was a struggle. It was really a struggle. And I'm glad that you invited Onome for this podcast because he's actually one of the strong pillars that have helped me get through that hub. Because he saw me struggling. I didn't reach out to him. Full transparency, I didn't, because I was still holding on to, I'm a strong woman. I'm a strong woman. I got this. I got to figure it out. And I got to a place emotionally and mentally that was really bad. And I think that he was able to see me in that space. And he was able to speak to me in that space from a perspective of understanding that I needed to be strong. And he helped me to find that strength within myself. To basically be okay with being vulnerable. Be okay with asking for help. Be okay with seeking advice from people who have done it, gone before me and thrived, basically. And so I kind of had to start that learning process all over again. And now I'm just glad for the person that I am, because I realized that being strong doesn't mean not having a weak moment, but it means understanding when you need help and asking for that help.
I love that. And so, Anime, I'm going to ask you a very specific question. Having lived with her through that unfolding, and before she actually started to share with you what she was truly feeling on the inside, what were you experiencing or seeing, and considering that you were in a similar boat, new to the country, how was that affecting you?
So our stories or our journeys were slightly different because I started interviewing before I left the country. I was very fortunate to land on a position, and really I started to build my whole persona and my experience around that opportunity. So when I got in, it was still like a, you know, kind of like an excursion. I was just out here seeking what the environment looked like. So once I got in, I basically told her, okay, you know, I've gotten a job and we're going to anchor on this particular job and we're going to build together going forward. So we try to speak about just that planning process, emigrating. I think a lot of people underestimate just how much planning goes into that. So finances were not the problem. The biggest challenge was just the adjustment around family upkeep, being together as a family, the demands your family actually has on you. So a lot of people don't appreciate that. So for us, when we came here, I was like, okay, in every single opportunity, let's try to, in every single tough situation, let's try to make the most out of it. And first thing I said to her when she was going through this was, take this as an opportunity to get things settled, you know, in the home front, get the kids into school, let's get through the routines, let's get to understand how, you know, we want to live here. And this is going to be kind of like a second career for you. So you have the opportunity to actually start just where you want to and take it from there. So I was a lot patient because I did begin to sense that she was feeling very stressed, especially, you know, coming from how our relationship was built over the years. It was one where there's a lot of partnerships in everything, including finances. And so not having to contribute to that, I know she was feeling very awkward and feeling particularly, you know, out of place and vulnerable. So I always just tried to assure her and, you know, just let her know how time will come. And I think one of the advices I gave her was like, look, you're a qualified chartered accountant, but ACCA path, why don't you wrap that up? and convert to CPA. And so we started having that conversation. And so I was helping her, you know, just encouraging her to make the most of the free time she had. And the moment she wrapped that up, everything kind of came together in a space of a month. She wrapped up the program. She's wrapped up Access Employment. She's started going out to meet so many people. And within the space of a week, she was already getting calls to interview for jobs. So I think for me, it was seeing her, you know, basically struggle early on. I was actually even drawing strength for that because I was saying, you know what, this is, she's going through this. And you could actually go through this and you also have to learn from it. So I think it was a lot collaborative between both of us, and just ensuring that I was supportive and understanding, I think was a very good experience for both of us at that time.
Completely appreciate how you've articulated that. So, you know, just staying with you, Anime, so you're dealing with that and now you're in a new role and you also now need to prove yourself and demonstrate your strengths and your skills, your talents, and your abilities. And so how are you navigating that? And what did that transition look like?
Back in Nigeria, I'd gotten to, I wouldn't say the pinnacle of my career, but I'd gotten to a very strong position where I was the head of IT, leading the IT departments for different organizations. So I was the voice of technology in my companies, advising executives, advising the different departments on how to adopt change or adopt different frameworks or use technology to solve some of their problems. So I was cutting edge. We used to joke because I worked in financial services, and that's where I started my career. And at the time, I was actually coined, you know, when we're talking about electronic banking or transaction banking, people would literally call me that. So coming here, I was given a very small portfolio as a project manager. I started off as a project manager. And I remember when I got the job, I was saying, okay, there are a lot of, it was a cultural shift for me from where I was coming from in terms of what I was responsible for and now what I was going to be doing. So this is more hands-on than I was used to doing for quite a while. But again, it was kind of like a monologue. I would always talk to myself like I was talking to one of my project managers before on what I expected to see to show that the project was succeeding. So getting to the organization, the first thing I made sure I did was build strong connections with my colleagues, with the different stakeholders. I made sure I was communicating well. And I think the biggest thing for me was just, and people have attributed that to maybe why I was a bit successful, was because I understand I had to listen a lot to people's opinions. I was slow to make decisions. I wasn't eager to get things done. The collaborative spirit in me came out, and that helped me be successful. I stayed away from things that would cause anybody problems in the office. Typically, you know, gossiping or just griping about management. Everybody always does that, but I made sure that it was something I stayed away from, and I began to build very strong connections in the workplace. Mm-hmm. It even led me to get a very good mentor in the workplace that has helped me to sustain that growth and that and cement my place within the organization. So the transition was a lot. I think the biggest thing for me was just understanding that I was starting anew, and I was going to have to prove myself again. I realized it wasn't going to be a quick solution, but mm-hmm. I've just sustained. I think that's just the word. I've sustained. I've just been true to myself, the person I am, and just a lot of patience, but it's gotten me there.
Awesome. Thank you. So Chidinma, I'm going to assume that you took some of his advice and really focused on getting the kids ready and focusing on how we as a family are going to, you know, really live here. I like that you guys, you know, made that your North Star. So how long was it from that moment, those moments, to when you landed that role? How long was that? And if you go back to that moment when that happened, you know, that miracle, and now on today, speaking back to that, Chidinma, you know, what would you have maybe, what advice would you have given her to have maybe gone to that point a little bit easier?
Okay, so he did share that he advised me. What he didn't say was that I didn't take it with a smile. You know, I'll give it to him. He's a very patient man. But I think that's the one thing I'm really grateful about in him, that even when he got to the point where I thought I was getting frustrated and I kind of just even forgot about who I was and what my aspirations were, he would be the one who would remind me. So I was honestly ready to go get a job as a barrister in Tim Hortons, you know, and he said, fine, if you feel you need to do that to get out of the house, if you feel you need to do that for your sanity, I will support you. Mm-hmm. However, I feel that you can stay on a bit, round up your program, your CPA program, and you will get what you want. Like he said that, and to me, it was like, oh yeah, you can say that, you have a job. I'm yeah. the one sitting at home, minding the house, right? So I must say, I didn't take the advice that graceful. I did listen to it, but not in a graceful way, right?
Yes, yes.
And, you know, really, to what he said, as soon, the day I got the email from CPA saying that I had, my exams had been passed, my application was successful, blah, 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 and it was all going to come through, I just reached out to all the same recruiters I had been following up all the while and hadn't gotten a response from. And the very next day, I got the call that got me into the job where I am now. It was that instant. So every time I look back, honestly, I am glad that I had someone in my life who was able to like remind me of who I was. So that was that. Yeah, I'm definitely grateful for what he did. Now, what advice would I give to myself back then? Is just take it easy. Yeah. There is no like, there's a rhythm in life, mm-hmm. right? And there is a time. Sometimes mm-hmm. there's a time to be slow, and then there's mm-hmm. a time to go fast.
That's Bible.
I think I was comparing myself with him to say like, oh, he got a job from way back in Nigeria, so why is it hard for me? Like, mm-hmm. it didn't come as easy for me. I had to wait over 8 months to get my mm-hmm. first job. But I'm loving what I do. I'm in a place where I feel like I can give full expression to the mm-hmm. gift that I have. Mm-hmm. So what I'll tell myself 3 years ago is take it easy and enjoy mm-hmm. the ride. Now I miss the time I spent at home doing nothing, yes. just taking care of the kids. Like I learned how to bake bread. I learned how to bake cakes during that period. I don't have the time for all of that right now. So
take it easy. Give yourself time. Are you at a point right now in your life where you need to give Chidinma that same advice?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And I'm going to share something.
Yes.
In KT. I don't know. You might remember like a month or two ago, I reached out to you. I sent you a text message and I was yes. like, I need training on how to speak, blah, blah, blah. You know, and you said, okay, let's talk. Mm-hmm. I was going to call you, but I was thinking about the conversation we're going to have. And then I stopped because I said, okay, Chidinma, you're going ahead of yourself. In the sense that, okay, I know I have a gift. I have a gift with words. I feel like I have a calling to share my life story so that people can be blessed and people can be better. Like I bless people by sharing my own experiences, and somehow yes. it always touches people. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I feel like I don't communicate it well enough. Mm-hmm. But on hindsight, I discovered that the only time when I feel that is when I'm trying to create a story mm-hmm. rather than when I am actually telling the story I've lived. Mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. know if that makes sense
yeah,
to you.
No,
right?
I totally understand.
So
yeah.
yes, so that's why I did it. Like for me, now is the time where I'm telling myself, like, take it easy. I know for sure, like, there's something, like, not, I am already leaving my tribe. I am where I should be right now.
Yes, yeah.
Is this my end? No, there's like so much more. I know, I see the future for myself.
Yes.
And it's beautiful, it's bright. And I'm getting mm-hmm. there.
I love that.
So I'm loving the process. I'm loving the journey. Mm-hmm. I am curating the journey mm-hmm. because other people would come and I'll be able to share it with them.
And I think that that's beautiful. I think creating your story is where it's all at. You know, it's through yeah. storytelling that we connect humans. Yeah. And the fact that you're able to create your story means that you're living a life, right? Like you're not yeah. just in the world existing, you know, you're living. Yeah. Anime, I've had the pleasure of mentoring a lot of new immigrants to the country just through Access Employment. And one of the things I often recognize that I really try to focus on is there's words that are used to say, you know, I feel like I've had to go back. I feel like I've had to, you know, rebuild. And I used to be here and now I recognize I have to come back. And so I always like to say, you came here for a reason. And I don't know what your reason is, but oftentimes I hear I came here to build build something better for my kids, you know, or just for myself. I feel there's more opportunity. And so what I try to do is I try to reframe to say, well, rather than saying that you had to go back, all you've done is you found yourself on another level. And let's just, for what it is, let's just call it because you took a risk. Let's talk it about you take risk up. You never take risk back. Who takes risk back? So you took a risk. It puts you on another level. And it's the recognition that you're at the base of that level.
Yeah.
And then there's all this extra. And so for those of you that are not watching, they're watching. I'm illustrating this, right? So you are where you are. Then when you take that risk, when you take that new journey, just put yourself on a higher level.
That's a different, it's a new place. Right. Yeah.
You step totally out of that other, call it, floor. And you're now on the base of a whole section of a new set of, you know, stairs, and you're on the bottom stair, you know, and look at all that ceiling to grow. So I want you to talk about that growth ceiling, right? So 4 years ago, you came here in a new role. I'd like to say that it was elevated because you took everything that you had in you from Nigeria. You brought it here with your family and all this and the other. And now you're finding yourself in this new culture, new way of working. You're on this on a step of a higher level. So first of all, what from your past experiences helped you the most? Like maybe it's character, more on the character side. And what have you now recognized? Wow, this is what I've also gained since being here.
Wow, that's a loaded question. Yeah. But I'm happy that you've mentioned that because, you know, sometimes it's very easy to come across like one is unappreciative of where it's at. And I like it when we talk about journeys. You know, mine is a journey. I like, you know, I'm enjoying this journey. And when I started, the first thing for me was just accepting and welcoming that role and, you know, relishing the opportunity to actually thrive and just do way beyond the role, what the role expected of me. And, you know, there are so many dynamics to this role that I took. It was a contract position. I wasn't, you know, the mindset about contracting at the time, before joining this role was, you know, it wasn't the best way to get your career off the blocks. But no, I took it and I was really giving my all, just doing what I was asked to do and much more. And that was recognized. And I remember my senior manager at the time coming back to me and having a conversation with me. This was like, I think, a month into role and saying, in just a month that she's seen level of maturity I've brought to the process and just, you know, the calmness that I've brought to. And that was something that she kept saying throughout my time with her. She was like, you know, there's just this level of calmness and maturity you bring to whatever it is you do. You're able to get people back to the table to focus on what's required and what's necessary to move this project forward. And I think when we look at, you know, how that started off and what my experiences before enabled me to see that whatever situations that I was finding myself in on that particular role, I was able to contribute something positive to it. You know, I was like this story or analogy where if you're on a bicycle and you're going through this curve and then you see something happening in front, you're not going to freak out and stop navigating your bicycle. Mm-hmm. What you're going to do is you're still going to look at whatever is scary up front and still navigate. So whatever, you know, situations I find myself, I'm always still willing and, you know, focus on navigating through that. So that was one of the biggest things that I brought into this role. But the growth, I mean, where do I start from? It's just understanding. The biggest growth for me has been empathy. It's just been identifying with how people, you know, the differences with people. And it's fascinating to me as well that people come with different backgrounds, different expectations, different baggages, different biases, different everything. Mm-hmm. And mixing everybody together and saying, go achieve it, you know, it could be a recipe for disaster, but understanding how to just get the best out of people, you know, has always been a strength for me. But coming here, I think I've especially matured and grown in that space. Mm-hmm. So that is something that, you know, again, I've added that to my baggage. I've learned so much more and just being able to, I've had very funny situations, obviously, here. I've had, you know, people really just doubting, you know, trying to discount the quality and the experience I bring. But with time, I've had those same people come around and, you know, come to make amends and basically just pass very complimentary statements. And for me, that has just been the biggest lessons and takeaways from my journey. So I would say, in a nutshell, I would think that the biggest learning for me here has just been understanding the different dynamics and multiculturalism and just understanding how to thrive in that and still connect with people and give people the opportunity to be their best.
there's wisdom that I've acquired over the last little while. I don't need to prove anything, right? I just need to do my best. Everyone else will catch up, right? People will catch up. Everyone else will catch up to the best, right? If you truly believe in yourself, then let people catch up. You don't need to prove nothing to nobody. You know, I truly believe that. So Chidima.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask a question now. Would you say that what I saw and this thrive, this person, this leader, I told you, I said to you, I know she strives to be an SVP. And I believe it was something that I observed the other day. And I told her, you're aiming too low. Like I see CEO, right?
Yeah.
And I would say that. Yeah. So this no, in truth.
Honest, I would say that.
Oh, he says that all the time. Yeah, true.
And for my senior execs that are listening to this podcast, I'm telling you, there's some talent on this call. So pay attention, right? And so, but Chidima, what has been the biggest personal growth that you've uncovered about yourself in the last 4 years? And the other part of that is, what I see, is it an evolution of the last four, or is it almost a return of, or a final expression of that person that you were becoming in Nigeria before you came here?
Okay, I will start with the last question first.
Okay.
I don't think I'm the same person I was.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm definitely different. I'm definitely different. I know that about myself. Like, I'm not the same person that I was when I was back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's just me stepping into the fullness of who I truly and fully am,
mm-hmm.
and accepting that space,
mm-hmm.
right? So one thing I got to find out about myself, you know, through all of this journey was that, like, back home, the culture is different as a woman, first of all. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't use the word disenfranchised, but you don't have the same opportunities that a man would have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up, we're from the East, in case if you know, like,
mm-hmm.
in the Eastern part of the world, women don't have an inheritance in their father's mm-hmm. place, right? Mm-hmm. We're five girls in the house. My father had six kids, five girls and one boy.
Wow.
So my mom constantly knew that we had that, like, she kind of, like, in terms of culturally, she was at a disadvantage
mm-hmm.
because she had five girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she, right from when we were young, like, she told us, you have to show that you're an asset.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever make anybody believe that you're a liability. Mm-hmm. So all my life, I lived to prove that point. I lived mm-hmm. to prove that I am a woman, but I'm an asset. I'm an asset to anybody who has me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I remember my dad's brothers would make jokes to him that he was training his kids because he mm-hmm. sent all of us to school. We all went to university. I don't make jokes, you know, that you're sending someone else's wife to school. And my father mm-hmm. was like, yes, they are all I had,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I think I kind of built my life around trying to prove to my dad that he didn't make a mistake in investing in us.
Mm-hmm.
And I really put in all my energy into doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So all my life back home, I was fighting the battle to prove myself, which goes to what you're saying, that, like, mm-hmm. I don't need to prove anything to anybody. So that's why I said I'm different from the person who I was mm-hmm. there. Because back there, I was trying to prove a point every time for every job and everything I did. I was trying to prove that I'm as good as a man.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this joke that I used to say, my former place of work, I was called a shim. That's S-H-I-M.
Lord, I've never heard that before.
She's a woman, but she works like a man. Like, that's what they used to say. And for me, it was like, It was supposed to be like an accolade, compliment, right?
Yes.
A compliment, yes. But right now, you know what? I'm like, I'm not a she. I'm a she. I'm a woman. Yeah, yeah. And I'm proudly woman. And I can do everything. So that is the person I am now. This is not the shame.
Yeah.
Because if this was me that back then, I'll be the shame. But no, this is not the shame. This is the shero. This
yes,
is the woman who
that.
Is all that she needs
yes.
to be. And all that she, yeah. So that's
yes.
I think that,
prophetic. That is yes. prophetic. I love it.
I've come to a place where I am confident as to who I am, and I'm mm-hmm. confident as to what I can be.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to a place where I realize that every moment is perfect in and of itself.
Mm.
And I've learned to embrace the moment now and mm-hmm. understand that that's not the end of the story. There's still more to come.
Woo, I love that. Yeah. Thank you. So in keeping with Chidima, and it's so funny. I know I told you I was going to throw questions and see how you guys handle it, but it's actually flowing really well. Like I said, I've never interviewed a couple before, and it looks like I'm handling myself quite okay. So Chidima, I want to know, because you said you're not the same person that you were back then. That's really key, because you're still interacting with people that you knew back then. And I want to know who has not yet accepted or recognized who you are now, and how do you handle that?
So my mom was here a couple of months ago. Like, she was here last year. She just went back. And I think that initially when she came, she just struggled with me because I was used to just being the person she wanted me to be just to keep her happy. But when she came, she met someone who, I was who I was. I was doing everything I was. And, like, I liked something that Onome said earlier on, you know, in the call. Like, when we came here as a family, we took a decision to choose the life that we wanted to lead and how we wanted to lead. And we chose to support each other, to set our own rules, not the cultural rules that we set for us back home, right? So we did everything together. We'd cook together. We would get the boys ready together.
I'm a great cook.
Yeah, he's a great cook. He cooks better than me, right?
You have to put that in and, there. Don't get it twisted. I'm a great cook.
So, like, he does give me, like, I am a very outgoing person. And, like, a lot of things I do outside. I'm a social person and I'm a giver. And he understands that about me. And he understands that I need to do that to be my thrive. So I do a lot of volunteering and stuff like that. So when my mom came, she was really uncomfortable with me spending so much time out of the house, right? He didn't have a problem with you, but she did. She really had a big problem with it. And I remember one day I came back and she called me aside and she was like, look, I don't feel comfortable with you going out to volunteer. Why are you giving, what are you doing for people outside that you can't do for your mom? And before I even said anything, like before I even opened my mouth to talk, he was like, Mommy, like, that's on me. He was like, Mommy, I'm not complaining. So I'm not sure why you're complaining. Do you think I have a problem with it? Like, I didn't even have to say anything. So she's just like, okay, I'll just keep my peace if you guys are okay, you know? But the me of before, the person I was before, I would try to make her comfortable. Like, I would know she would have a problem with it. And I'll kind of, like, step back just to make her comfortable. But I'm like, no, I don't need to do that. You accept me the way I am. But the good thing was that by the time she was leaving, she had come around to, like, she went back to tell my sister, like, your sister has become a different person. Like, I don't even understand who she is. But she's beginning to accept the fact that I'm living my life. And I told her, I said, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to just live my life to please you. I'm going to do what works for me and my family.
And I love that.
That's what is important. Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned being on a self-improvement journey myself is that it's okay to meet somebody, and if they're meeting you in your five-year-old self, it's okay to say, let me reintroduce myself. You know, my name's Nikesha Wafor, and meet me on today, right? So I love that, you know, and I to this day, it's so funny when you were saying that your mom, must you go out and all this, to this day, even, so for those of you that are listening, I'm dating this podcast because this is during COVID-19 when we have a lot of time to get interviews in. And my mom says, my mom is clearly happy that I can't go anywhere. Are you still going about all your activities outside the house, or has that slowed down? I'm home, mom. Oh, that's good. Like, as if it's a good deal. So I totally understand. So Anime, she touched on it a bit. I, you know, growing up with Nigerian parents, my dad, you know, I'll be honest with you, he's very traditional to this day, and he's 85, right? How has that been as you know, as a man? Like, I'd love you to chat about that because, you know, you both of you don't necessarily sound like it's a traditional household, like what would be expected culturally.
Certainly not. It's not.
And I don't want to use the word slack, but have you had slack from it? Like, and how do you navigate that?
Well, I think I grew up in the military environment. My father was in the army. Mm-hmm. So we did a lot of traveling. So culturally, I'm quite aware of a lot of cultures, especially back in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. So one of the things my father did within his household was, I think he was at liberty to choose the kind of culture we were raised in. Mm-hmm. And he essentially ensured that we had respect for one another. There was respect for family and there was support for any decision we wanted to take. And I had a very strong mother. So from that standpoint, my mother was an entrepreneur. She did so many businesses. She got her hand into so many things. Unfortunately, because of the, we always moved my father when he was going on his postings. So she couldn't finish up a lot of her businesses. She had to pack up and move. So she was a serial entrepreneur, and then in every new environment, she would start something new. She was always identifying opportunities and starting something new. So with that experience and with that culture of seeing just how hardworking she was and how dedicated she was, we were a family of seven. She had seven kids, and she was, you know, doing so many things. And getting to my first job, I was fortunate to work with very strong women. And I think from that moment, I saw that I was already very respectful for my mom, appreciative of every single thing she did at home. And going to the workplace, working with these very strong, amazing women, it was a natural transition for me just to respect and ensure that I supported, women and their aspirations. So I have my female colleagues in the office. Why would I be thinking that they should be doing or be earning less or be given less opportunities when they have a lot more, usually, typically they have much more responsibilities back home. So it was clear to see that they were always disadvantaged. So and that's because we have three boys, I'm always ensuring that, yes, traditionally we're aware of our traditions, we follow our traditions, but clearly in the house, we're seeing it. You have to respect your fellow human being, your fellow partner. If your wife's, has aspirations, you must support them, must respect your parents. So I think that's basically where we draw the line. Some of the other traditions where, the woman takes a back seat to the man, I've always really been, I'm not a rebel, but I've always questioned why. I'm always like, why does it have to be? If my wife is smarter than me, why not? Let her take the lead.
Let her run.
And I always say, I always tell her, look, I'm always up for the next challenge. If you want to stay and we always had this conversation. Who do you want to model in your life? Try to think and be like that person. Try to imagine if you want to become the CEO of an organization, try to start thinking like that. And once you start earning that much, I'm going to stay back and take care of the kids and go into my private consulting. She's always laughing. I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, whatever you want to aspire, we will make it work. So from that, I think I show the kids and I always tell them, your mom's at work. So I'm doing the dishes. I'm doing the cooking at home.
I'm a great cook.
Yeah, and I'm a great cook. They love my cooking, right? So I have to put that in there. So they, and I tell them, you have to learn from me. You're not going to go out and say, I'm learning from society that hasn't shown you how this works. You're learning from me, and I'm showing you how it works. Mm-hmm. Your parents are successful. I've chosen to stay close to work, so I'm able to support you. Your wife, your mother is, going off on her engagement, but it doesn't stop from the fact that she's also loving you. So I think traditionally we're aware of those traditions. And I tell them, especially if they're within the Nigerian culture, you need to understand what that means. It doesn't mean you should give away your rights as a person, your rights as people, but it means that you must regardless respect every sex, every gender, and every person that you come across.
First of all, I think you guys need to form a couples panel something, because I know I'm going to promote you guys as, get these couple on a technology panel, maybe BPTN. If you're listening, Lacan, you need to get this, get both, Chidinma and Anime on, because you guys are talking the truth and I love it. Okay. And inspiring as you're going about it. And it's cool. The swag is fly. I loved what you said. Choose the culture of your household. Woo! That is a mic drop. That is a tweetable. And I almost feel that that's going to be the title of this podcast. I usually ask people, what would you like your podcast titled? It's either that, asset, not a liability. I like that one. Or choose the culture of your household. And if it was just Chidinma, it would have been she, not Shim. Yeah. So there was a couple of titles flying around. But that's really powerful. It makes me stand up, because I think that that's a really great thing. Like, I recognize that Easton and I, for who we are and all the things we have on the go, there's a certain culture to our household, but we chose it. So thank you for that. I'm going to go into a quick speed round. So it's a bunch of questions that I'm going to ask, thriving questions. And this time I'm going to, so Chidinma, you'll always answer first, and then Anime, you're second. Okay. So you guys excited about it? Ready? So when you think, when you, so Chidima, first up, when you think of thriving, who's the first person that comes to mind and why?
Okay, I follow your podcast. So I'm not going to say Nkechi again. I'm going to say a different name. All right. But for me, I think the one person that really comes to mind when I think of thriving is Nelson Mandela. So now, we named our last son after him. And that's because he's one man that in our family we respect a lot. Like seeing all he went through. Mm-hmm. And yet, it didn't define who he was. Like for me, that's I put him like as the one someone I look up to because that's beautiful. No matter, I haven't gone through as much as he had, and so I cannot let my circumstances define who I am.
Yes.
So yeah, so he's the one person that really inspires me to be the best I am, irrespective of the situation I find.
I love that. I love the way that you talk about him in present tense, and because his legacy is present. Yes. What's your son's name then? Is it Mandela or is it Nelson?
Nelson.
Okay.
Nelson.
Okay. Anime.
So mine is a little different. I'm going to go with, well, I have a lot of people that when I think about thriving, I kind of relate to, but I'm going to think about one of the athletes and just because of how he's able to carry himself, you know, through all those different injuries and taking the leadership from the back row, I'll say Steph Curry. There's been so much vitriol against him because of his unique talents, you know, not big enough, not tall enough, and not whatever it is, not loud enough. But I think he's been able to show leadership through just the quality of his work, persistence, dedication to his craft, and literally revolutionized a basketball. So I'm going to say Steph Curry.
Yes, that's a really good person to say. Thank you for that. Books. What book has helped you with your thrive? Chidima.
Okay, I'm going to, a lot of them, but I'm just going to share the most recent one, which is Illusion of Money by
Carl C.
Like, I've read that book like 3 times this year already. 3 times. Honestly, that book just put me on a different trajectory in 2020. So, yes, 100%. That's the book I'm
going to share. I'm not on the three, but I'm definitely going to repeat it. So, for those that are listening, it's The Illusion of Money, How Chasing It Is Preventing You from Receiving It by Kyle Cease. That is a mic drop book. It is not about money. That's the thing. It's so awesome. Yeah. But it is about how you can earn more money. It's crazy. Read it. I know. It's so funny. Eh? Yep. Okay, Anime, did you read it, by the way? Easton read it.
No, I've not read it.
You have a task. Read it.
So I'm going to go something different. I read this book a couple of years ago, and whenever I just think about things that just make me, give me a lot of energy, that I have a purpose here, that I have something to fulfill, I think about Releasing Your Potential by Miles Monroe.
Oh.
I think, you know, just knowing that every single person has a function or a duty to fulfill in this world is critical. I think for me, it is the foundation of my leadership abilities to help people just contribute whatever they can to any single team, any single project, and every single environment. So that is a wonderful book for me.
And I believe that, so I read it too, and it's a 3 series, right? There was Recognize, Release, and Maximize. Yes. They were all really good. Very, very good. Dr. Miles Monroe is a G. Okay, what is a daily activity that helps you with your thrive? Chidima.
Okay. This might sound a bit cliche, but it's actually, for me, one activity that is a non-negotiable every day. So I start my day every day with some time meditation and just listening to inspirational music. I spend time.
Cliche.
Some people will say like, oh, yes, you're just doing something. But honestly, I have a little spot in my basement that is just my morning spot. Like, I go there every morning, and it just sets me in tune for the day. Sets my mind, my spirit, soul, body, everything in tune for the day.
I love that.
Meditation and music.
That's very important. I think, and the fact that a lot of people, you know, subscribe to that makes it real. Like, so whoever's not subscribing should subscribe. There's something about it. Yeah. So if Anime was to go down in the morning and sit in your spot, what would happen?
Oh no, he can't do that. He can't.
I don't wake up that early. So.
I'm usually the first up in the house every day. And like when they wake up and they look for me, they know to come down to the basement. Like, I'll be right there in my spot. Okay. Yeah.
Anime, what is your daily activity?
Well, I think self-reflection, I do a lot of reflecting. I have, you know, I have a picture of what I want my family to look like, what I want success to be, and what I want joy to be. So whenever I'm, you know, trying to get going, I just reflect on that, and it gives me joy to move move over into the next task or hurdle or whatever it is that I'm going through. So that is something that I do. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I do it frequently. It's not like just once in the morning, but I do
it throughout the day.
Yes.
And what is an app that helps you with your Thrive? Are you guys phone app people?
I'm old school. I don't know that there's an app that helps me with my Thrive.
No,
my notebook, my journal is what helps me with my Thrive.
That's good.
My
journal.
Yeah.
Okay, your journal.
I like to write. Yeah.
Okay.
I like to write.
Okay.
I listen to podcasts.
Okay.
So I that is something that definitely helps me.
Okay. You listen to mine?
Podcast. Well, I've listened to your podcast, yes.
Does it help
I have.
You?
Yeah. So actually there was one of your podcasts that you talked about You Matter. So again, it talks about, you know, I think I've talked about mm-hmm. that being some of the things that really just connects that every single person has a function or has something to offer. And then that is just, those are little things that just give you confidence when you're going into certain situations, because everybody needs a cheerleader. And once you hear stuff like that, you're just motivated to go on and give up.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. And the last one, what is one misconception that people have of you, Chidinma, right now as you thrive? What's one misconception?
Oh, people, I feel like people always think that always happy-go-lucky, right? Like everything, oh, she's always excited. She's always, but for me, I think I live my life mostly facing my fears. Like I do most of the things I do from a place of like, I feel the fear, but I say, okay, I'm going to look at you in the face and I'm still going to do it irrespective. But sometimes people feel like, oh no, you already have the skills. That's why, no, I purposely make sure that I do the things I'm scared of. Like that's one of the goals I set for myself. If a thought drops in my mind and fear comes in, I'll say, okay, I'm doing it because I'm afraid of it.
Yes.
So sometimes people just think it's easy. She has the skills. She likes to talk. She's not afraid of a crowd, but no, it's, I think, that's just one misconception people have.
I love that.
I do it in spite of the fear. Yeah.
I love that. And you, Anami?
Honestly, I'm thinking about how I would answer that question, but I think one, I would feel, because I don't know what people are thinking, that, you know, it's happenstance that I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one big misconception.
They don't see the hard work.
They don't see the hard work. They don't see the dedication, the hours, the sacrifices, the planning that goes into my craft and whatever it is that I do. The self-reflection, when I'm handling, working with my teams, the reason why we're successful is not happenstance. There's a reason. There's a plan.
There's an intention.
There's an intention behind every single thing. So I think a lot of times you hear people saying, you know what, I could do that. That's so easy. It is not, trust me. And that's one misconception.
I love that. I love that. And I love you guys. You know,
thank you.
I thank you. I thank Thanks. You so much for giving space for this podcast, for this interview, for me to even just venture into new territory interviewing a couple. It was totally fun.
Yeah, we're first.
Yeah.
And we got through it. We thrived through it. Yes. And
I know
we inspired along the way. And so thank you both for being such amazing humans. Thank you for God. Thank you for bringing these two humans together, because you guys are literally thriving together. And that's a beautiful thing. And so, you know, so blessed to have you in my corner, blessed to know you. I'm grateful for you and continue thriving. And if there's anything I could do to help with that, I'm your girl, man.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Kitty.
Yeah, no problem.
And thanks for all you do too. Honestly, I feel like we've met on and off. Like, it's not like we have a steady personal relationship. But one thing I would say is that every time I see you, it seems like you just drop a seed. Like, I see you at an opportune time and you drop a seed that I need for just that time. Like, seriously, you've been a blessing to me personally.
Thank
you might not know how much, but I just wanted you to know.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I received that. So thank you, guys. And to all the listeners, thank you for listening in. And this is where I say, we're out. Yeah.
Woo. Yeah. Woo.
So there you have it. I hope you're thriving and thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And remember, whatever medium you are listening to this on, please subscribe, like, review, and share this podcast with somebody else that you think could benefit from the tips that were delivered. Because when we share, that is truly when we have the capacity and the power to change the world. It's been awesome hanging with you. It's your girl, and I'm out.